Welcome to And That's When I Realized, the truth and comedy of midlife with me, Susan Dolce.
And me, Leone Dyer. We are two good friends navigating the twists and turns of that middle part of life, and we are laughing our way through it.
Don't get us wrong, it's not all that funny all the time. There's so much we are unprepared for. Adult children, changing bodies, aging parents. We want you to know that you are not alone in these challenges. So sit back, get a front row seat as we share true life stories with a fresh perspective and just a pinch of irreverence. And That's When I Realized starts now.
Hey everyone, welcome to And That's When I Realized. I'm Leone Dyer.
And I'm Susan Dolce.
And this is a show where we are tackling the truth and comedy of midlife. So Susan and I are best friends who get together almost every Friday on Zoom to share our week, the joys and the challenges, the laughs, and we discuss all those things that friends share. So I don't know about you, but we thought by the time we were in our mid-50s, we would kind of have everything figured out. But it turns out, as I am, buckle up. There's a whole lot we didn't expect. So in today's show, we're talking about creativity and when the creative juices go sour. So get a cup of coffee, tea, or whatever you're drinking and join us. Susan, how are
you? So Leone texted me about an hour ago saying, I'm so excited for today's show. I'm an hour early. So
yeah, I was like already at, I don't know, 3:15. And I come in and I have my phone set to ding at like 10 of. So I know okay, I'm going to get my camera ready and my lights on and get all logged in. And it didn't happen. And I was like, okay, wait, it is Thursday. I'm going through it. I look, I'm like, no. And then I realize, I'm like, what happened to my ding? Well, I'm an hour early. So yeah,
that's what
happened.
Well,
I was just so excited. I think I'll tell you why, because I'm back at a schedule. I am now, because okay, let's just, September was crazy for me. October was a little wonky, November was for the both of us. We were not on our schedule at all. So I'm okay, I think all that Shabib stuff is behind and here we go. We're ending, what year are we in? 2021.
It's 2021, the year that would be called the blur.
The blur. Yeah. Okay. Ready to end and let's just start. Let's just do this. I'm happy. I'm good.
So, speaking of ready to end, we are going to be guest hosting for Dr. Pat on the 30th of December. I'm really excited about that show because we're talking about resolutions and other foolishness. So it's are you ready to, because I feel 2020 was such a train wreck. And then 2021 was it just felt like an extension of 2020. Mm-hmm. And it seems sort of surreal that 22 is weeks away. And I don't even remember what happened this year. So it's
everything from all of my little everything from is telling me 2022 is going to be a much better year.
Well, amen to that. Amen to that.
And so, nobody at the end of 2022, no one come back and say, wait a minute.
Yes. Please let it be a better year. So you had a listener friend who asked a question about how we, so go ahead. You can take it from there.
Okay. So I was chatting with a friend who is one of our listeners. Thank you, Kelly. And she asked, because we talk about, we introduce the show as these are things we talk about. So she said, how do you come up with the topics that you do? How do they fall into your weekly get-together chats? Good question.
Good question. So
today, creativity, and I'm going to throw it right back at you, Susan, because why are we doing today's show?
Because this one was definitely an aha moment for me. And I was like, you know, this is something I want to talk about. I was kind of in a funk. I mean, I think a lot of us are. I've been sort of in a funk for a couple of months and just feeling like everything felt so hard. Like doing the smallest thing felt hard. Like, I don't like doing my social media posts. That always feels hard to me. That always feels like work, but just everything felt like it was harder than it needed to be. And I was feeling like just fatigued and blah. And I wouldn't call it depressed, but I was just like I wasn't motivated to do anything. I wasn't motivated to work on my work. I wasn't motivated to work on the shows. I wasn't motivated to do anything. And it occurred to me that I think the issue is that I was not giving any time whatsoever to my creative side. And that is a really big part of my life. I used to be a Girl Scout leader. I've sewn since I was 9 years old. I used to make, I was a costumer. I costumed for local community theaters. I made dance costumes. Like, so that creative side of me, really, after I kind of gave up work part of it, you know, like the costuming part of it, it was about me and my hobbies. And I just stopped putting time into it. And I just think that that's like when I realized that I wasn't doing any crocheting. I was hardly doing any of my quilting. I wasn't even trying to come up with new, like this time of the year, I love to come up with projects to make for my kids. Mm-hmm. Like there's always something that they get that's homemade. And I was just like, this is totally not feeling it. And I just realized I needed to jumpstart it.
To add another layer, just so people understand, because I know a lot of people like myself, I'm like, okay, so here, big deal. This was a huge, creativity for you is huge. I mean, your office / what would you call it? Creative, like sewing studio?
Or? Yeah, it's a studio.
Yeah. I mean,
all of my sewing machines are housed behind these.
Okay. Now understand plural sewing machines. Yeah. I have one and yeah. I don't even know where it is in my basement. So, I mean, so for you, this was a big deal that you designed your office area to be creative and then it kind of dried up.
Yeah. And I think part of it, to be perfectly honest, is that like for a while it was all in flux. Like we were renovating this room so that it just fit, everything fit better. And there was, you know, cabinets to store stuff in. Because this was not my original studio. I had to forfeit my original studio, much larger, walk-in closet, to my youngest daughter during the pandemic. I love her, so I gave her my space. When I say everything felt hard, just even taking out my sewing machine felt hard. Like looking at a quilting pattern and coming up with, you know, fabrics or whatever, everything just felt so hard that I just didn't want to put any energy into it. And then I realized, ding, ding, ding. And that's when I realized that I needed to kickstart that to actually feel better. Like I needed to even just do the smallest project, and then get back in the flow of it and feel the my imagination and my creativity coming back. But it took me a long time to figure out why I was feeling so blah and unmotivated. And it's because I wasn't playing. I wasn't being creative. I wasn't using my imagination. I wasn't getting excited about the next project.
How many hours a day or a week or whatever would you spend on your creativity?
Well, you know, that's a good question because I tend to be a binge sewer, or like if I'm in a project, like I've got two projects hanging in a closet across the hall, both of which are almost finished. One just is a quilt that needs to be bound. That means the edges need to be put on it. It's a wall hanging quilt. The other one's like another small quilt that I was working on for my kid. But if I don't, like, if there's a pause, if there is project interruptus, it could take me a really long time to get back to that project, because I want to do it. I want to do it all. I want to get it done. And then I want to, you know, maybe take a break from it. I think the fact that this room was in flux and I didn't have it really set up to be conducive to doing a podcast and coaching and also sewing. And now, it's definitely a space where I can put things away and it can still, you know, look nice. But, I've been known to make, you know, a quilt top in a day, and I'll start in the morning and I will power through till it's done.
I don't even know what that means. Like, how long would it, like, how many hours?
Well, it depends on the quilt top. Okay. I mean, like, even when I was doing customing, a solid 8 to 9 hours a day of sewing. And to be honest, and I know we're going to touch on this topic later, I can't do that anymore, right? Because my hands won't let me. I'm just getting, you know, I think of that nonstop sewing when I was doing the costuming really took a toll, and I've got some arthritis.
It happens.
Yeah.
And you actually have more time now than, because you did, like, you were creating costumes while you were a mom of three young girls.
Yes.
And you were still doing all that. You were still driving them to dance. You're still driving them to school. You were still doing all the stuff, and you were making costumes.
Yeah. So the question is, and we can talk about this when we come back, but the question is then, like, I've got so much more time on my hands. Why does it seem like it's harder, like it's more work? Mm-hmm. Like it's not, it's all this mind game that at least I know I play, where it's like, oh. Anyway, I have more time than I've ever had. And now I kind of still have to psych myself up to do these projects. But I do know it's like exercise. It's like exercise. You don't want to do it. And then after you do it, you're like, wow, I feel so much better. I got to remember how great I feel after it's done. Right.
Okay. Well, your exercise is different than mine. That's for sure.
Okay. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to keep talking about how to jumpstart your creativity and actually why it's really important as we get older. I'm not going to say age. As we get older. You're listening to And That's When I Realized, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack, and I'm excited to tell you about the latest technology. It is new to this country, and it's just amazing. It's out of Germany. The Healy is state-of-the-art technology for improving and changing the body vibration. I have more information about the Healy on my website, maryjanemack.com, or you can call the office at 888-777-4232.
Close your eyes and imagine what it would feel like to live a life driven by purpose and passion. Feels great, doesn't it? Tune in to Awareness to Action every first and third Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific with me, Joan Marlowe. I'm here to help you navigate your unique journey toward purpose while embracing your authenticity. Visit my website, peacefullyhealing.com, and don't miss Awareness to Action on transformationtalkradio.com.
While standing in line to pay for lunch, I heard a young man say to the lady next to him, "It's okay, I'll pay for you." I assumed they were together, but in the ensuing conversation, it became clear that they didn't know each other. The young man said, "I try to do something for someone else every day. Today, you're it." He smiled. So did the lady. So did I. So did everyone who heard. This is a great example of Mahatmyam, having a great soul. This greatness of soul is infectious. It spreads. That young man's action delighted everyone there. That lady has a story to share with her friends and family. I'm now sharing it with you. Random acts of kindness are incredibly powerful. It's the power of a great soul, Mahatmyam. Join me, Sarah Main, on Dhammayanti, the show for your soul, where we discover this greatness together. And check out my website, dhammayanti.store.
We'd love to hear from you on Transformation Talk Radio and live on Facebook. Call into the show, 1-800-930-2819.
Hey, everybody, welcome back. You're listening to And That's When I Realized. I am Susan Dolce, and I am here with my co-host and my best bud, Leon Dyer, and we are talking today about creativity and the importance of creativity, not just the importance in our lives, period, but the importance of it as we get older. This show was prompted by my own creative slump that I was like, why am I so miserable? I'm so unhappy. Everything is awful. And I was like, I haven't done anything creative in a while. Mm-hmm. So, my long list of, I do have a long list of things that I like to do. I like to crochet. I like to sew. Pardon me. I like to clear my throat. I like to, I like to watercolor paint. As I've gotten older and my arthritis, I don't have bad arthritis, but anything repetitive, like sewing over and over and over again, I have to sleep in my hand braces at night. That makes you feel old. So what are your creative outlets?
First of all, my outlet is probably hiking. Like when I get, like for you, it's that create, like when you realize that you need to do something and you haven't been doing it. For me, it's just getting outside and walking in nature, like hiking. Mm-hmm. But my creative, like as far as creative, I don't consider myself a creative person. But that being said, I do own a sewing machine. I used to make my daughter's clothes when she was a little girl. I made some of my own.
I'm not a perfectionist. And for anyone who knows me knows that I'm just kind of okay with what is sometimes,
but I would realize like when I would make curtains, I would sew and they would be like so crooked. It's like, oh, please. It was just easier to hem them with duct tape. I mean, I just was like, okay, it's done. But I like to do things. There is this part of like getting everything out, putting it away. And then.
Well, I don't know if you saw, you were a Sunday school teacher. That requires creativity. Mm-hmm. You had to put.
I can do little kids crafts. That I got down. If it's glue and paper and little scissors, I'm good.
You like to cook. That's creative.
I do love to cook. And I used to make cakes. Like I used to do these like before, I mean, if I had cashed in on, if I had started like my own business years ago, but I used to create cakes that had this immense scene on it. And this was before like Wilton Cake Factory came out with all the tools they have now. So it was probably 15, 20 years ago. And I would use tools that like I would, in order to get the effects, I would come up with my own tool to do it. And
oh, come on. Tell us your best cake.
You know what it is, right?
I know what it is.
Okay. So I made for a bachelor party a bust. So it was a bust. And I couldn't, there's not a cake form out there for that.
There might be now.
There might be now, but there was not then. Yeah. And I used, I had to get the right. I mean, I cooked so many cake. My poor family, they were like, no, mom, no more cake. But to get the right bowl size, and you all know where I'm going with this. Mm-hmm. I tried different bowls in my house and I put them on, what is this? And everything was edible. We had little pasties. It was a hit. And then I had several orders after that and several different sizes, you know. So it is not, I do not want that to be my claim to fame, but it was fun. It, yeah, that was fun.
Because,
and I would say it was late.
Why was it fun?
I think because, yeah, I was being creative. I was using that part of my, like using both sides of my brain. It was definitely an outlet from spending all day at school. And then, well, I even was doing this before I started teaching. Like the birthday cakes I would make for my kids, because everything had a theme and I would make their, oh, okay. We're like, so going off rail here, but 1 year, this is how, but creativity, my daughter loved Little Mermaid. So she was like going, it was her fourth birthday. And I made a papier-mâché flounder. So for all of you who don't know, flounder is a fish, the very lovable, charming little fish. And papier-mâché, it was amazing, if I say so myself. And I stuffed it full of candy. And then we went outside and these girls were going to beat flounder with a plastic bat. And they all started crying because they were not going to hit flounder. So I had to say, okay. So I had to go in and operate on flounder, and cut him open and shake out all the candy. And I put it in a bowl. And then flounder hung in her room for, until we moved here, So probably for like 3 years.
So it's funny because, my oldest, we had a Little Mermaid party for her too. Mm-hmm. And I had to make everybody Little Mermaid costumes.
Oh.
So they all had like little coconut bras and, well, they weren't, they were like purple lamé and little like tutus that like tutu skirts they could tie on. But the 1 year I did make a cake, it was, I found a Pocahontas themed, it was a Wilton cake form. It was for Pocahontas. And I spent hours and hours frosting that thing, you know, with the little star bit. And that was the last time I ever did that, made a cake like that. Cause I was like, you all ate it so fast. Nobody even like savored it or like took, everybody just ate it.
But that is a part of the creativity, you know, like you put all this time in, and which when I create things, like I've done, okay, now I'm going to tell you all the things I've done that creativity, but
see, because you are creative, you just are not in the midst of it right now.
Well, and I don't usually like what I like, and it's okay. Like for cakes, you can just, I mean, you can like hide things and it's so easy to just not be perfect when you fraud. Well, now everything is so perfect, but, I have done felting, and I don't know if you know felting.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so there, you know, that takes, sometimes it takes hours, and then to give it as a present, it feels very nice, but then sometimes it just sits there and then it goes in a bag and it goes away and there it is, you know, like all that time and nothing's happening with it.
So that was one of my aha moments, which I also think is part of the reason why I was in a creative slump. Mm-hmm. And that is I, if I'm making a quilt or I'm making, you know, a gift, a zipper pouch or like you turned me on to those reusable, like sandwich bags. And I made a bunch of those a couple Christmases ago. Because I'm giving it to somebody.
Okay.
It's a gift. Yes. Now I'm not going to go through all that time and effort and energy for me.
Mm-hmm. And I'm the same way when it comes to cooking. Like I will create these, like I love to cook and I love the whole farm to table, you know, aspect. And I love to get like things at the farmer's market. And then it's like that, the show where you open up the basket.
What am I Chopped.
Chopped. Okay. What are we going to, I love to, you know, like open up my freezer and like, okay, what are we going to eat tonight and create a meal or my refrigerator or what? if it's because I'm, even if it's for just Dan and I love that. And if it's just me, I will stand at my kitchen island and eat a bowl of oatmeal or lunch and meat out of the package. I don't do it for just me. It has to be for someone. So that's
I'm in the same spot. My husband had to go out of town this morning, and so I decided I was going to make a big Instant Pot recipe of oatmeal because I knew that that was the only way I was going to eat. And I was like, so I told him, like, texting him, I made oatmeal, so you don't have to worry. I will eat. Because I'll just eat cold cuts, you know, or some.
Oh, I'll eat. No, I don't think anyone in my family has ever been concerned. I mean, I'll eat. It just may not be what the best. But going back, this is like a big like aha moment in overall of why maybe people stop being creative, which we're going to talk about, I think, in the next segment on as we get older, why creativity is important. Yes. But maybe, and like, if you're not, if, like for me cooking, if it's just me and when maybe it, if it's ever just me, I probably will not create the meals I create.
Like, yeah,
I won't. And so if I don't have someone to give a craft to, or if I'm not doing a craft for someone, or if I'm not creating something for others to enjoy, then it's not fun.
Yeah. Isn't that funny?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and
it's
I'm thinking about all the people that I know that are creative. I think they do it to share their craft, to share their love for that. Oh, I just had this profound thing. Like, it's just, you know, you, it's something you love. Like, I loved baking those cakes and I was so okay with them eating it. I wanted them to eat that cake, but it was me giving that my love to that person or those people or to my husband or to my dog when I make his food. And yeah.
So, I mean, that's, to me, I think that's the biggest part of it is, when I was sitting around trying to figure out what's going to be my homemade gift this year, I was like, I don't even know what to make them. And then I was like, well, you know, because if you've given, like there was one Christmas, I made a quilt for everybody through the course of the year. And I went to the long arm place and I quilted 8 quilts in one day. They thought I was nuts. They were like, nobody has ever done this in the history of the shop. I'm like, I'm sorry. But yeah, it's giving it as a gift and that, you know, excitement of like, of giving it and having somebody, you know, opening it or using it or loving it. And yeah, I mean, that was big. So, I mean, now I just have to keep that in perspective of that, whatever I'm going to do, it's either for posterity or it's as a gift, I think, and that will keep me motivated. But we are at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some studies about the importance of creativity as we get older, and especially geriatrically speaking, like for our minds and our bodies, the importance of creativity. But we're going to take a quick break. You're listening to And That's When I Realized.
Are you feeling lost in this journey we call life? When you awaken the truth of your patterns, limitations, and beliefs, you can start to heal relationship with yourself, others, and your circumstances. I'm Ritika Rose, life coach, author, and speaker. My mission is to help you align with your most powerful, authentic self and transform how you experience your inner and outer world. Find the confidence and peace to live the highest version of your life. Visit RitikaRose.com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Grace your space with flair. Dragon art to soothe your soul by Colette Marie Steffen is available now. Colette invested an average of 6 months on each painting. Her piece titled Courage took 3 years to complete. The paintings are printed with the latest technology to best capture the true essence of the paintings. Browse the 64 dragons and dragonflies and order your paintings today at talesfromthevector.com.
Are you ready to invest in your best self? Join Sabrina Wright as she shares tools for creating joy and balance in your life every single day. Sabrina is here to help you become your greatest advocate and empower you to make decisions that will help you live your best life. The Live the Good Life Show, connecting your physical and spiritual self. Every second Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Find Sabrina at the right, W-R-I-G-H-T, balance.com. Take us with you on your morning commute. Download your favorite shows and listen anytime. Just visit TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Hey everyone, welcome back. You're listening to And That's When I Realized. I'm Susan Dolce. I'm here with my buddy Leon, and we are talking about creativity today and the importance of creativity in aging. Leon thinks she's not creative. I think that's a bunch of bunk. I was sheepishly going to ask you, could you send me the download? Because you put together this bingo card for your family.
Yeah.
Like Christmas bingo. So it's not like you're not all sitting around playing it together. You are individually. So you created this bingo card.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, did you download it from someplace or did you make it? She's like, oh, we made it on Canva. I'm like, oh, yeah. I don't want to ask for it. Can you send it to me? Cause that sounds like fun, but see, that's creative and it's, you know, and you're, yeah. And it's involving your family. And I mean, that's the kind of stuff I love. We always decorate gingerbread houses at Christmas. From the time the kids were little and now like last year was the first, well, I guess a few years ago, we started doing more like themed ones because they sell them now as themes. And so last year it was the Minion gingerbread houses. Oh my God. We had so much fun. We had, I bought extra like Minion action figures and I had Minion masks and I made a Minion cocktail.
Oh my God.
My kids are adults. We have a good time and it's again, for me to come up with all of those side things to do in addition to, just the gingerbread houses that's really fun for me. So
we do anyway. Gingerbread. We're doing this year where, my son is creating his own gingerbread. My daughter's doing hers. And I don't know. I don't know if my husband's going to do one, but I'm going to make one. And then we're going to combine them and make a little village. So we'll see. And my daughter eats it. She's the one who will eat it. My son doesn't like gingerbread. So he's going to, whatever he chooses. Yeah.
No. Now, I mean, last year I finally had the aha moment of nobody eats these. Why can't we just hot glue them together?
Oh, no. You use the sugar. No. You fuse it with,
no,
okay.
No.
See, I'm going to say, wait, I'm a purist.
Do you do the hot sugar in the pan and do it that way?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. My daughter sent me a TikTok saying, Mom, we could do it this way. I'm like, hot sugar?
Oh, it's no. Easy. No. I created, okay, here we go. I actually made little stained glass windows out of hot sugar and I placed them inside the little cabin and we put a candle inside that smoke would go. Okay. Well, we had some really smoke action going because I was burning the sugar on the inside of the cabin. So I was actually burning, but it was amazing. We had some beautiful smoke coming out of the chimney.
Well, yeah, I'm creative. I mean, for us, for them, it's like I learned a long time ago too that the kids don't care about making the cookies. They just want to decorate them. At least my kids. All they care about is decorating the cookies. So then I was like, forget about making the sugar cookie dough and all that pain. I went to Gordon's. Actually, at the time it was Market Day and I got the pre-shaped cookies And they would, and I would just get some frosting and some Jimmies and whatever. And they would just go to town. And that's what that's, then they had fun. And it was, I was making so much more work out of it. Anyway, studies. Yep. We're going to talk about some studies.
Yes.
There was a study in 2001 that was funded by the National Endowment for the Arts. And it included 300 subjects around the median age of 80. And it had them participating in different types of programs. Some were musical, different activities. And their activities assessed their social functioning. And the indicators measured were social engagement and mastery. So we're talking about median age was 80. And the significant findings were, and we're going to talk about one other thing that I think is even more important when I'm done here. I know I'm reading out of a paper, but they had better health, fewer doctor visits, less medication usage, and increased activities and social engagement. And so it says, based on this landmark study, the projected healthcare, the healthcare cost savings are significant. And so it's kind of, it doesn't really like matter if they're like learning to play an instrument, if they are, you know, in a sewing bee, if they're embroidering together, or so there's, you know, or painting together. But the one thing I really wanted to point out here, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to squish this down and summarize it. So I'm just going to read some of this for, because it says beyond bingo. Yeah, in the 1970s, leaders in the gerontology field still conceived of the last years of life in terms of inevitable decline marred by disease and senility. The limited number of arts programs available in senior centers and nursing homes were no more than arts and crafts projects or sing-alongs intended to keep people busy. Then in 75, Robert Butler, Dr. MD, wrote this book, Why Survive? Being Old in America, which linked Eric Erickson's theory of the life cycle to the process of aging. Erickson theorized that in the final stage of aging, which he called integrity versus despair, the key developmental task was to examine one's past, come to terms with one's losses, and celebrate one's successes, thereby achieving a sense of integrity. Butler connected this process with the presumed propensity among older adults to reminisce, something gerontologists had dismissed as unhealthy, even pathological. Butler, by contrast, saw reminiscence as central to integrating one's life, working out resolved issues from one's past, present, and future, and challenged gerontologists to actively nurture this process. So when my mom lived in assisted living for 3 years, I think it was 3 years, and this was something, especially like I noticed it more with the memory care patients, that if you, because I took tours of the memory care unit, she was not in memory care, but they have outside of every resident's door in the memory care unit, there's a little shadow box. And it was so that the residents could decorate it however they wanted. They could put pictures of themselves. They could put pictures of their loved ones. They changed them out with like the holidays. And the whole idea was to help them recognize and remember their past. And they did, with most of the residents, they did a lot of reminiscing activities, like watching old movies or going through like travel logs of like where people had visited, and having the residents, to the best of their ability, you know, like to share their memories about their trip to Italy or whatever. So, so the final part of this is from reminiscence to arts and crafts, professionally conducted art programs. The current trends in older adult services are way beyond bingo. And to me, this is so, so important, because it not only fosters, I think it helps eliminate that despair issue, because they are being creative. They do feel like they've got a skill, even if it's stringing beads on a, you know, to make a bead necklace. I watched my mom do these crafts. My mom was such a crafter. such a crafter. She actually did participate in art and craft shows for a while when I was a kid. And all sorts of different, you know, she made Christmas stockings and advent calendars, and she, you know, sewed most of my clothes when I was a kid. And she sewed all of my prom dresses because I wanted to be different. And to watch her in her final years, you know, being given like an outline of a bird and to watercolor paint, and how, it was, they were beautiful. They were beautiful. And my oldest daughter actually took several of them, and she's framed them and hung them in her house of, my mom's paintings and the different arts and crafts she would do. And she would spend hours like picking out, like it was a collage, you know, picking out wallpapers to cut and which snowflakes and like, oh, the perspective is off here. And it wasn't just like she loved it. And it was every time they had some sort of art and craft project, it just totally made her day.
What timeline was this happening with her cognitive decline?
This was considerably after, because she ended up going into assisted living because she couldn't live alone. It wasn't safe for her to live alone. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't in a, like my house wasn't configured in a way that she could live with me. And then it ended up that she had pulmonary fibrosis. So she needed more care than I could have provided anyway. She needed to be on oxygen all the time. But even in her last months, was still loving doing right. The arts and crafts.
Exactly. Yeah. So she was able to connect to that part of herself, and it brought her joy, and it's something that she knew how to do.
Yeah. So I think, you know, I'm hoping that as these studies, you know, more of these studies are done. I mean, I think I see it in, like I've, you know, experienced two different assisted living places, that they try and come up with things beyond, you know, just here's a stamper pad or here's color this. And they're realizing how, not only does it help use, like you've said, both sides of your brain, but there's something about igniting your creativity that makes you feel like a human.
And I think I'm thinking of a group of men that I know in town. They're older than old, and they get together and they play music. And, you know, when they do the parades, they're trumpets and I don't know what that's called, like what kind of band that is. Horn band. I don't know.
Band.
But they, I mean, it takes them, like they need help. They need assistance. They need a ramp to get up onto the
wind. It is a,
okay.
Is it wind?
Okay. I don't know.
But, they're all, you know, wind, I mean, instruments.
But they get together and they play. And, you know, these are men who, you know, some of them have difficulties walking, and but they do it because they enjoy it and they're together and they're using that part of themselves that normally would not get used. And
I think it's fabulous. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to take one more break. We're talking about creativity today. This is, and that's when I realized, I realized I needed to kick my creative juices into high gear. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to put down that drink or drug for good? Are you struggling to maintain your recovery from addictive behaviors? Do you need help with a family member or loved one who's in early recovery or battling addiction? Get the help and guidance you need by arranging a recovery recharged phone session with me, Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, certified life and recovery coach. Call 1-800-889-1757. Make an appointment today. Or go to my website, pushybroadfromthebronx.com, and click on the link that says Recovery Recharged. Don't wait. Get the help you need today. This is Ellen Stewart, Pushy Broad from the Bronx, on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Have you heard about shifting the collective vibration and consciousness on the planet? Join me, Kimberly Barrett, on the Sharing Love and Light show every first and third Tuesday at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern at transformationtalkradio.com to explore the depth of vibration and consciousness on our planet and learn how you can shine your love and light. To learn more, visit sharingloveandlightshow.com.
Do you question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Allie Effect with Allison Blythe. Authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day.
Hello, we are back. You're listening to, I guess that's how I should have started it, not ended it, right? You're listening to, and that's when I realized we are talking about creativity today and the importance of creativity in our lives, especially as we get older. So I have a question. Do you have, because I know what I have, of course I have my answer. Is there something that you've been wanting to learn to do that is like a creative endeavor that you're like, yeah, I'm going to take that up when I have more time, or I want to learn how to do this before I die, or?
Oh, heavens. Okay. Two things came right up. Both. One, I would love to learn how to weave, like create, like not just like any weaving, but I love like native blankets and the weaving, or yeah, love that.
My grandmother was a master weaver.
Oh, I just, yeah, I love it. I love watching and I love, yeah, I like that. I would love to do that. And I used to play the piano like I don't even know, until I was entering high school. And then I ended, and I haven't really played since.
So piano is definitely on my list. And I have my daughter's old keyboard that we bought for when she was playing piano and practicing. And when we moved here from Cincinnati, my husband's like, should we donate this? I'm like, no, I'm going to learn how to play it. He was like, what? I'm like, I'm going to learn how to play it. And now there's like all of the, like, I don't have to necessarily learn how to read music. I don't need to learn how to play it like that. I just want to be able to play a song or play songs. Now they have all these apps out there. We'll see if my hands, I've got baby hands, so I don't know if it'll work, but I want to play the piano. But I know I've said this to you before, and I thought it was in Maine. It's in Massachusetts, but there is a shop in Mass that has weaving retreats, and it's all Scandinavian weaving. Like the kind my grandma did. And it's really cool.
That would be cool. So I love watching it. I mean, it scares the jeebies out of me because I think that's part of the issue. Like I'll start something and it doesn't come out the way I think it's supposed to come out. And I can't really change it. Like, I mean, I can, but it takes more effort. Whereas like going back to the cakes or even cooking, I mean, it's all, I don't know. For me, I think food and decorating is objective, like cake decorating, whereas something that you hang on your wall or you hang on, you know, it's not. It's more like very concrete.
Really? So is that a little bit of a perfectionist coming out in you?
Well, I was, probably. I probably somewhere deep back there, I have that. And well, sure, because it was easier for me to hem curtains with duct tape because I could get it perfect, whereas I had to do it like 9 times on the sewing machine because it kept getting crooked. So, yeah, I mean, yeah,
You know, I was going to say the days of it's much easier to sew a straight curtain nowadays because there's rotary cutters and rulers. Yeah. But I hear you. I hear you. When my grandma was, she was so utterly creative and so talented, and she would take like pictures. She would like go into like, let's say a book of birds and trace on vellum the bird and the colors, you know, color it in with colored pencils and then put it on. She had so many different sizes, so many different kinds of looms, but she had like a small lap loom. And then she would just sit there and weave it. And
that's amazing.
It is amazing. She was so fun to watch her. She also had a huge rug loom in the shed. So like in the multi-generational show that we did, and we put up some pictures of my house, there was the back house, no, not the outhouse, the coach house, and then the big house that my grandparents lived in. And then there was like a shed attached to it. And in this shed, it really wasn't a shed. It was just like another house. She had this huge rug loom. And I can tell you right now, the hardest thing, the thing that would be daunting to me to start weaving, because I've looked at it several different times, is you have to know like the warp and the weft, and you have to like stringing everything. Like that is a huge deal. Mm-hmm. Weaving is a very advanced skill, in my opinion. But we could go to the retreat in Massachusetts.
I'll start off with, you know, remember those little weaves that you had? They were the square ones with all the like
pot holders,
prongs around. Yeah, yeah. Pot holder. I'll just do a pot holder. That's okay.
Yeah, the funny thing is, we made a ton of those as kids, why doesn't my mom use it? Well, it's because it would melt because it was made out of nylon.
Oh, and really? We had cotton wool ones.
Oh, because maybe you were more rustic than me in Chicago.
I guess so. Probably.
No, ours were like nylon stockings cut into little rings, and then it was all.
Oh no! It was hard. I know what you're talking about. I went to a Girl Scout camp, and they had those, and I thought those were quite easy to do. Yeah, I didn't need that little hook thing. I could do it with my fingers.
Needed the hook thing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I wanted to, like, before we like end the show. So we've established that creativity is good and that we need it, and left brain, right brain. But how, like, if someone is in a funk, so if they're listening, they're like, hey, you know what? I used to be creative. I used to paint. I used to do this. And how do we get back to that? Because that's something that you're slowly making your way back.
You have to dump into, you have to jump into the deep end of the pool.
Okay. And did you do that?
I did.
All right. After the show, text me what you're making your kids.
Well, they're not listening. I made,
you don't know that. Don't say that.
They're not listening. And the one who's listening, she already has one, but I make these, aprons out of men's dress shirts.
Oh, you told me. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And so that was just a warm up, because those are really quick and easy. And I made a few for my middle daughter, because they're really cute. Like they're really cute aprons. And she lives in the Dominican Republic, and she fries a lot because they make tostones. And so you have to get it, you know, grease. And so you have to have an apron on. But I decided, my husband was getting rid of some shirts, and I thought, you know, someday down the road, each of my girls is going to want something from their dad's shirt. And I thought an apron, because they all love to cook, I thought an apron was a mm-hmm. good idea. So they're getting those for Christmas. And then the other thing that I'm making is, I try and come up with some sort of new reusable product every year. And so I'm making those reusable machine washable makeup remover wipes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like micellar water, and then that's a big fuzzy, poofy, makes a huge mess. I don't recommend serging terry cloth, or what's the other fabric that's like fiberglass? Anyway, we're coming up at the end of the show. But I'm so mad that I can't think of the name of the
fabric. It doesn't matter. I won't know what you're talking about.
But I had to it. it when you surge it, it's like fiberglass, and it's like fiberglass shards, and they embed in your anyway. Leon loves sticky notes. Leon loves sticky notes. And so we have a sticky note today.
My sticky note is, because there's no manual on midlife and how to get through this, laughter is timeless, imagination has no age, and dreams are forever. And that is Walt Disney.
And I love that.
I love it.
Imagination has no age. I mean, and look at him. Like, think of how creative he was. He was
And I love that he connected imagination to laughter, because I have to laugh. Even in the worst case scenarios, I have to find something to laugh about. So I love the fact that those two were connected.
Yeah, it's a great quote. Yeah. Well, we hope you enjoyed our little chat today about creativity. And if you are in a funk, just dive into the deep end of the pool, get a project going,
and just
enjoy it. Just have fun. Nobody's looking. Nobody's judging. Thanks for listening, everybody. And we will see you next time.
Thanks for being here with us today on And That's When I Realized. We are here to shed some light on the misconceptions around midlife by sharing real life stories and a fresh perspective.
Look, we know it's not easy. The change is constant and inevitable. Let's explore what it means to move through challenges with a dose of humor and embrace each challenge, each new discovery, with a higher sense of understanding. We hope you heard something today that made you laugh and recognize the truth and comedy of midlife. See you next time.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.